Este reporte llega gracias a Rhode Island Foundation, la familia Almonte y oyente como usted. Más información visitando lprnoticias.com.
I need to believe. My thoughts big, I just can't define. Wish I could turn back the hands of time. Us in the six, shop for new clothes and kicks. You and me taking flicks, making hits. Stages they receive you on. Still can't believe you're gone. Give anything to hear half your breath. I know you're still living your life after death.
This is Latino Public Radio, LPR News.
Let's talk about your daughter, about you, and about your family and the support that you have.
Oh, Lauren. Lauren was born March 8th, 1990. She was a beautiful baby girl, blonde hair and big blue eyes. She was a happy baby. She was always smiling, laughing. She was the apple of our eye. Then she got a little older, went into school. She was known as the teacher's pet. She was always staying after to help teachers. Oh, they would complain a little bit because she was called a chit-chatter. She could talk for days on end. She was helpful. She was thoughtful. She always tried to include children who were maybe lonely or frightened or scared and didn't have many friends. She'd always include them. Sometimes she'd bring them over the house. We'd have dinner, cookouts in the summer. She loved the beach. The beach was our happy place. I think we went to almost every beach in Rhode Island. Let's see. Her and her brother had their ups and downs. They used to love each other to death and fight. Typical brother-sister relationship.
I had it with my cousin, too. We had a relation that one day we're doing good, and the next day we're fighting.
Oh, it was minute to minute, day to day. She was very popular. She was on softball. She was into cheerleading. From cheerleading, she went into competition dance. She did very well. She had a great team, a lot of teamwork. There were always kids running around my house. My house in the neighborhood in Cranston was the place to go. They'd all come to my house. They'd want to sleep over. And we did a lot of that. I was her bus driver, car driver. We were traveling all over the place with the competition. But I must say I loved every minute of it. High school, and she went into college. She went to Johnson & Wales, and she got a degree in criminal justice. She wanted to help women who were in trouble, desperate, lonely, scared, beaten women. Then he came along. He portrayed himself as a kind, loving person. And Lauren, with her big heart, thought maybe she could help him, change him. She couldn't, but she tried. And she started seeing that he wasn't the person for her. She was working 7 days a week for her stepdad, pursuing her career in criminal justice also. So when she decided that it was over, she broke it off with him. But of course, he was not having that. He had her thrown out of the apartment, even though it was in both of their names. She went to the police numerous times. She went to get a restraining order, but was denied a restraining order because apparently he had gotten one first. So they would not allow her to get one. How is that fair? I know it's a piece of paper, it doesn't do a whole lot, but why couldn't she have gotten one? Anyways, she got back into her apartment. She was the one put on the lease. He was removed. At that point, he was pretty much homeless. He started harassing her, coming by the apartment, banging on her windows. He was there the night before, threatening to kill her. He went back the next night, not sure how he got in. He did. He tortured her brutally. I remember after it happened, I went in, and there was so much, she had lost so much blood. It had dripped through the floor, the wooden floor, into the basement, and there was a pool of blood in the basement. He wrote things all over the walls, threatening people, her brother. He threatened her brother, me, police officers. But he admitted to it then, back then. He called his friend, went to his friend and told him what he had just done. His friend called the police. And shortly after that, they found him, arrested him, and he's been in prison for 6 years. He has done absolutely everything he could to prolong this. He fired 3 attorneys. He wanted to plead. No, he did not. He wanted to go to trial. No, he wanted to plead. No. He did this for 6 years. Well, yesterday, after beginning the trial, I believe in my heart that he decided to plead yesterday because the prior day there were 2 witnesses. Opening statement, it explained exactly what he did to her. And I think, being the coward that he is, he chose to plead so no more information would get out. But we are doing our best to get that information to everyone. So maybe he's not so comfortable in prison anymore. Maybe someone will read this or see this and decide to take things into their own hands and teach him a lesson. I don't know. I hope. But I think Lauren is finally at rest. She was with me right through it, as were her friends and family. I thank God every day for Paul, my partner, my son, her friends. They've helped me through this over the past 6 years. I feel some closure, but it won't bring her back. But I pray she's at peace now. Thank you, Ronaldo. Yes. God bless.
Tell me about when she was growing up, the times, the memories that you have about your daughter, the good times, all the laugh, the fight with her brother, even enjoyment. Even Jethro, you said she had a dog.
Yes. Jethro was originally my dad's dog. He was a little Bichon. My dad passed away, and then I took the dog because Lauren was still living at home with me. And then I met Paul, and eventually I ended up moving to Pennsylvania. But Lauren wanted Jethro, so Lauren took him, and she didn't raise him, but she kept him. And I think of poor Jethro because he was there that night, and I can't imagine how scared he was also. And then a dear friend of mine took Jethro after Lauren passed, and he passed away a couple of years ago. But Lauren was a happy child. She was always happy, always laughing. I think that's why she was so popular. She was just generally a good person. She never hurt a soul. She loved going to the beach. We went to the beach all the times. Oh, and Paul, my partner, he's a pilot. So one day we took her flying. We took her to Block Island, one of the best days of her life. I have pictures of her in the plane with her little headset on, and enjoyed that day so much. No fear.
Whereas her
brother got in the plane once and said never again. No, Lauren was a popular girl because she had a big heart, beautiful soul, loved people, funny. She was funny. She started working at the age of, I think she was 12, for her stepdad at the local ice rinks because he ran the concession stands at mostly all of them. again, she grew a heavy relationship with many people at the ice rinks, and I just wanted to be remembered as a good person with a huge heart who just tried to make this world a better place. I'm gonna miss her, I do. But she's with her grampy and her nana and my parents, so I pray she's never lonely. I hope she's happy.
Do you have any funny stories of her and her friends?
Oh my God, too many. Yeah, there was usually at least one, like a Friday, Saturday night, she'd have girlfriends sleep over. And I remember one night, they were all in. It was dark, so they were not supposed to be going out. So I went to bed, and for some reason, I had to get up, a glass of water or something, and I noticed the back door was unlocked. And sure enough, I went in a room, and they were all gone. They had snuck down the street. They were just hanging out at some kid's house. But it was late, and I went walking down the street, and there they were, and their eyes popped out of their heads when they saw me.
Whoops.
But back home we went. Everything was fine. It was just kids being kids.
She a cheerleader of sports or anything?
Cheerleading, yes. She loved cheerleading. She was in competition. Almost made it to the end. But, you know, they'd get all gussied up in their costumes with the makeup and the hair. And we'd travel around the state and just a great time with good people. And, you know, she had friends who were not as fortunate as her, and, you know, she felt bad, and those are the kids that would stay over more often than others. And to this day I'm close with a few of them because they also were beautiful people. And yeah, she would take care of her nana and her grampy when they got sick, and she would be anywhere she was needed. You didn't have to ask her for anything. If she felt that someone needed her, she'd be there for them. And that was Lauren.
Oh. How long did you meet Cheryl?
Met Cheryl in 1973. Uh-huh. Is that long enough?
High school.
In high school. Yeah, She was the most beautiful girl in high school. She was the one that, you know, every guy in high school, there's always this one girl who was, you know.
No.
But unfortunately, she had a very overprotective boyfriend. So there was like a fence, an imaginary fence around her that no one could enter. But that's okay. I'm a very patient fellow. And in 2017, we had a high school reunion. And I saw her there, and guess what? She was just as beautiful as the day we graduated in high school in 1976, and she was a lot nicer, and even better, she was much more friendlier to me.
Oh, that's good. You know what I like about you? The first day that we met in Corps, the support you give her. I appreciate that. I explain to her why you supported her. So heavy.
Well, that's easy. She's the love of my life. And so, you know, I'm Italiano, and you have to take care of family. And when you love someone, whether it be the love of your life or someone in your family, you have to take care of them. And when they need some help, you got to be there. And for her, it's not an effort. It's just part of life. When I first, you know, if you remember, I met her in 2017, and at that point in time, you know, Lauren was still around, and things were more normal, for lack of a better term. But even after Lauren's passing, and all of the ups and downs and roller coaster ride of the last 6 years, legally speaking, it's just been what I need and want to do. Give her the support that she needs, and she gives me the love I need. It's a fair deal.
I don't think I'd be here if I didn't have you. I couldn't have gotten through this alone. Never.
Well.
I appreciate that.
And if nothing else comes from this conversation, it's to women who are in a position where they feel like they can't get out or they can't do anything. Reach out. There are people, there are places that can help you. You got to scream and you got to scream loud so somebody hears you. I wish I could do more. And actually I'm looking into doing more because I know personally of someone who is not in a great place and I've offered to help her, offered to move her away, but that person's got to want to do it. I don't know if it's fear or I don't know why they stay. But Lauren got to the point where she didn't want it anymore. And when he knew that she didn't want him, or better yet, need him anymore, it flipped his switch. And look, he did what he did. He could not stand the fact that she didn't want him in her life anymore.
What is the next step? What do you guys want people to remember about your daughter? How do we can change the mentality that you say a lot of women need help or they don't want to because they're afraid or sometimes they don't try hard enough? You already lost your daughter. And it's a way that we can save other women.
There needs to be more. Advertising is not the right word, but you can look something, Google, where do you go if you've got to get out of your situation? Where do you turn? I don't think girls know what to do. I don't think they know the first step.
Well, I think it's a combination of both ignorance of not knowing what to do and probably more importantly, fear. The fear of what happens if I do something. Will he come after me? What's going to happen? How am I going to afford rent? How am I going to take care of my children? How am I going to feed my children? What am I going to do? How am I going to take them to school? He's going to be there. I mean, that fear, that anxiety is a lot to overcome. You know, even if you have knowledge of services or people who could help, getting over that fear of the unknown and that anxiety, coupled with the fear of what he might do to me,
I know.
That's tough to overcome.
I know.
I asked you a question yesterday about your daughter was buried. You said she was cremated.
I had her cremated. And of course she was in an urn. And I wasn't comfortable with her in the urn. Lauren was a free spirit. She wanted to soar. She wanted to fly. So 3 years ago, Paul and I flew to Block Island with her ashes, and I sprinkled them in the ocean. I set her free. She's all over the world. She's traveling everywhere. Little bits and pieces of her everywhere.
That's what you want?
That's
what you want?
Yes. I couldn't see her sitting on my bureau getting dusty. No. She's wherever she wants to be today.
Or buried 6 feet into the ground.
Oh, no.
Contained within a box.
No.
That's not Lauren.
No.
Well, yep. You carry her.
And I carry her in my little pendant. She's with me every day. In here and in here.
Something else that you would like people to know about your daughter?
You know, he stole so much. He stole her career. He stole her planning her wedding, having children, making me a grandma. She wanted 3 children. Even as a young kid, I'm gonna grow up and I'm gonna have a family. I want 3 kids. I believed her. He didn't want that for her. He was jealous. He was mad. He was angry. He's an animal. No, I'm sorry. That's an insult to animals. He's a beast, a monster. He is where he is. If there was a tougher, more... I, in my dream of dreams, I wish there was an island where people like him, you'd fly him over, drop him on the island. That's it. Fend for yourself. Find your food. Find whatever. But no, no, No TV, no working out, no getting tattoos, no making wine, having friends, having visitors. No, no. Look what they stole. No, no, that's not prison. It's prison as we know it. It's the only one we have. That's not hard labor. No, no. That's another thing I think they need to change. I don't like the death penalty. That's too easy. That's an easy way out, and sometimes they get it wrong. I don't know. Something has to be done to make it tougher and harder for monsters like him. But that's all he knew. I mean, his father was Bobo, you know, the mob. But you know what? Even his dad would, I think, be totally disgusted with him, because I don't know much about the mob, but from what I hear, they didn't like doing things to children, especially, and women. So I'm hoping maybe where he is, he'll get a little taste of maybe what he deserves.
She's pretty much said it all, but I just want to reiterate that murder is a multifaceted crime, because in essence it is theft of the highest degree. It's theft of a life, it's theft of a future, theft of children, theft of grandchildren, theft of a career, theft of some type of good that a person can do in their life, theft of service that they do to the community, theft on so many levels, and it's just the deprivation of all of the potential of her life that has been swept away. Why? Because of the cowardice and heinous, horrific acts of one very horrible individual. And I won't say sick either, because sick implies that it can be cured. There's nothing that can be cured for this type of person.
So I guess in closing, I hope when you Google Lauren, I know it comes up, her murder comes up, but I hope that everyone that knew Lauren remembers her as the beautiful person that she was. She was beautiful to look at, but more importantly, she was beautiful inside. And I, like I said, I hope she's at rest and at peace and is happy and surrounded by all her family. God bless her.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I think I didn't know her that well or for that long, but for me, the single most distinct portion of her personality was her raspy voice,
yeah,
and a big smile on her face, and you can hear, and it was a loud, raspy voice and a big smile, and you could tell the kind of big personality she had.
That was her.
And that everyone will miss, and that's why everyone loved her.
Yes. Thank you, Rinalda, very much. God bless.
Este reporte llegó gracias a Rhode Island Foundation, la familia Almonte y oyente como usted. Más información visitando lprnoticias.com.
Keep my soul. May wealth grow in our hearts. You are the grace that placed yourselves where lives were torn apart. You called out to our country, and you whispered to those in pain. Now you belong to heaven, and the stars spell out your name. And it seems to me you lived your life like a candle in the wind, never fading with the sunset when the rain set in. And your footsteps will always fall here along England's greenest hills. Your candles burned out long before, your legend ever will.